Hello, and thank you for listening to part 6 of the series entitled Waiting on God by Pastor Grace Jung of Forerunner Christian Church. What you are listening to is the English translation of the teachings which were originally given in Mandarin Chinese. May God richly bless you as you listen. The following is a testimony given by a brother.
I want to share a testimony surrounding my father-in-law's visit a month ago. During his short visit, I spent very little time with him. It was mostly my wife who spent time with him and cared for him. There were even people from church who came and shared the gospel to him. One day before his departure, which happens to be a Sunday, my wife told me in the morning that Brother Tai Yu had challenged her to take her father through the sinner's prayer. Brother Tai Yu challenged her to do so because he had already spent a lot of time talking about the Christian faith with her father. Even though we had never thought of doing this, we agreed that it was worth a try. When we came home around 4 p.m. in the afternoon, I decided that I would spend some time waiting on God so that I would know how to approach my father-in-law. I really had no idea what to do. However, as I waited on the Lord, I received a prompting that I was to apologize to him. Though the prompting was clear, I had no idea what I was to be apologizing for. I felt awkward and ridiculous to go and apologize to my father-in-law for something that I was not aware of. However, because I had no other ideas, I decided that I would submit to the prompting. I asked the Lord when to bring up this conversation, and He instructed me to do this during our daily family devotional times. In our household, we typically do this after dinner. So that night, we met together, as we usually do, and went through our routine of worship and prayer. After the time of prayer, my wife and I held my father's hands and shared with him that we wanted to bless him before he leaves. He was caught off guard by our offer and tried to avoid having to go through with it. However, seeing that we were pretty sincere about our offer, he conceded. I began by asking his forgiveness for any lack of proper care for him while he stayed with us. As the words came out of my mouth, which interestingly was different from what I had intended to say, tears also followed. Upon seeing me, he was moved and also began to shed tears. In that moment, there was a softening of his heart towards what we were doing. And for the next 40 minutes, we prayed for him, and he even said a few prayers. Even though he didn't declare his faith in Jesus, he did share with us that all the gods that he had looked into, he is most fond of the God of Christianity. The next day, while I drove him to the airport, he listened attentively as I shared the gospel with him. I learned a few things from this experience. The first thing is, a simple submission to the prompting of the Lord can birth a positive effect in my life and the life of another. Another thing I learned is, waiting on God helps me to learn submission to Him.
The following is a testimony given by a brother.
I want to testify that waiting on God, as Pastor Grace has shared, gave me a taste of, in quietness and trust is your strength. I believe that the practice of waiting on the Lord is the secret to entering into the inner sanctuary of God. A while back, I had to submit a claim to our automobile insurance company due to the fact that I was involved in a car accident. Even though there was insurance coverage, I still had to pay a deductible. I took the opportunity to seek the Lord in spite of my impatience towards matters like this. I was hoping that waiting on the Lord would bring more calmness in me. Although the car needed damage repairs, I was determined to find guidance from the Lord in regards to the timing of everything. Consequently, 2 months passed by without any hurry to get things all fixed up. I drove the car around with its body damage. Soon after, the car suffered an even more severe car accident. This time, the compounded damage made it even more convincing that the car needed to be repaired. I was having a hard time over all these accidents, and I was asking the Lord why these events had occurred. I wondered if there were things I needed to repent for. Again, I reported the accidents to the insurance company and filed the necessary claims for its damage. And I was told by others that it is important, for the sake of official records, to faithfully report all accidents, regardless of whose fault it was. Of course, I incurred another deductible from this claim, so it all added up to be about $1,000 on my part. The total amount of the deductible was, for me, a big expenditure, so I continued seeking the Lord's guidance as to what to do. God then convicted me that I was to put my faith in Him and practice integrity instead of trying to get by without having to spend the deductible amount. When I finally proceeded with the repairs in the manner that God had instructed me to do, I was pleasantly surprised at the outcome. Due to the fact that the damages to the car was in the same area for both accidents, the cost of repairs came out to be much less than the two separate claims that the insurance company had agreed to pay. In the end, not only was I spared of having to pay my deductible, I actually pocketed some money. Furthermore, I took the car to a friend of mine's body shop to have it repaired as a blessing for his business. I was even able to share with him that if he needed more money than what was estimated, I would be willing to pay more. In this process, I practiced patiently following the Lord's guidance. Every step of the way, even in small decisions, I was diligent in seeking His counsel. However, I was quite disappointed that the people who fixed the car did not do a careful job at it. I was trying to be a blessing by giving them some business. However, they took my consideration for granted. I was very disappointed. Typically, because my personality is aggressive, I would not let things like that slide. No matter how I prayed and fought myself over my disappointment with the repair shop, I just could not overcome the strong sense of injustice that I had within me. I realized that I was in a place where I couldn't even pray anymore. The only thing left to try was to quiet myself down before the Lord. After about 2 hours of quietly sitting in His presence, I sensed an increase in sweetness and tranquility. Even though my mind was still thinking a lot about the issue, there was a renewed determination in me to hang tightly to the Lord for deliverance. I was committed to have the Lord deliver me from the bondage of responding negatively to mistreatment and injustices from other people. I was committed to a new response of being able to give praise and thanksgiving and to rejoice over things like this. Although my ego was not at all happy over this, I was determined in my will to turn towards Jesus. It was a tremendous inward battle. I was challenged towards letting go of everything I used to hang on to in order to respond to bad situations with praise and thanksgiving. The situation was a lot more than just a simple prayer. It was a process where God was doing a work of transformation within me. My yes to the Lord's dealings with me was a response that was far deeper than superficial lip service. The attitude I took was a bearing of my cross as I declared death to my old ways of responding. There was real sacrifice involved in this. I knew it was painful even to say yes, but I did it anyways. However, once I submitted to God, I gained in Him something far more precious than what I had decided to give up. What I gained in Him from this experience is truly far more precious than anything in this world. I never thought that the gift from Him would be such tremendous joy and peace in my life. It was a quality of joy and peace that I could not have imagined. Praise the Lord! In the end, the entire matter was resolved to the glory of God. I was able to conclude matters with joy and peace that I had received from the Lord. I realized that the situation was not as bad as I had thought. Furthermore, I learned that the fullness that I had gained from Jesus far superseded the perfection that I was initially demanding from my circumstances.
The following is a teaching given by Pastor Grace Jung.
While we were listening to the testimonies, I was reflecting on the fact that it took 2 weeks before the first brother finally shared. Not only that, I had to prod the brothers in the congregation before they came forward. It seems like brothers are more reluctant to share testimonies. I really encourage brothers to take more initiative in sharing testimonies of God's activities in their lives. Brothers are called by God to be spiritual leaders. They should be the ones who are first to raise hands and step forward during testimony times. I hope the brothers would take this to heart. I hope that brothers would be first in the future to step up to the microphone. Let's first read Malachi chapter 4 verses 2 and 3. There it reads, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing," says the Lord of hosts. This passage says, those who fear the name of the Lord will have the Son of Righteousness rise over them. One who truly fears the Lord is one whose external actions and internal thoughts submit in honor to Him. Even in times of busyness and stress, the disposition of one who fears the Lord continues to be in reverence to Him. Another way of saying this is that those who truly fear the Lord are constantly waiting upon Him. The reason why we cannot quiet down and wait upon the Lord is because we still lack reverence for Him. We often get frustrated of having to wait because we feel that He is moving too slow. Thus, we get going because we conclude that things get done faster. Now just think about the first testimony where the brother was perplexed about what to apologize to for his father-in-law. In that situation, it is very easy to disregard the Spirit's leading because it would be too frustrating to keep on waiting and seeking for clarity. The same thing goes for the second testimony. It is very reasonable for the brother to go and argue with the body repair shop over their poor service rather than sit around waiting for God's direction. However, those who are sincere about fearing the Lord will choose to quiet down and wait on Him. They do this because there is a conviction that God can do things better. I want to stress that since you have already heard testimonies concerning the blessings of waiting on the Lord, you ought to begin practicing it yourself. Think about the situation where the brother had the challenge of sharing the gospel to his father-in-law. It was not an easy task, for his father-in-law was a well-known and highly knowledgeable retired school principal. However, because this brother was willing to take the challenge before the Lord, he became the source of his wisdom. One word from the Lord has more impact than hours of striving on our own to influence others. When we reflect upon the phrase, "But for you who fear my name," it ought to move towards seeking forgiveness for our lack of fearing the Lord. It should also convict us to ask God to grant us a heart that fears Him. The fear of the Lord is a critical component of successfully completing our spiritual walk. It goes beyond mere outward behavior, such as regular attendance in church services or faithfulness in tithing. Fearing the Lord also pertains to whether our private lives displays the character of a heart that reveres Him. The characteristic of fearing the Lord is a determinant of how much we will encounter His saving grace in our daily lives. The characteristic of fearing the Lord in our daily lives is also a determinant of how much we will grow in our knowledge and understanding of God. This is why the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom comes after we decide to live in reverence to God. In particular, we will gain wisdom pertaining to the understanding of God and our eternal life in Him. A person who fears the Lord is one who is in submission to Him. His heart is bowed low in reverence to the Lord while he draws near and waits upon Him. As a blessing to such a person, the Bible promises that the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. The picture of the rising of the Son of Righteousness points to the presence of the Lord upon the person. In addition, The rays of His presence emanate healing power. Sometimes we might not immediately notice the effects of the rays of sunshine. However, if we stay under the sunlight for a period of time, we will begin to perspire from its heat. The longer we stay under the sunlight, the more we will experience the intensity of its energy. In the same way, if we never go beyond waiting on the Lord for more than 2 or 3 minutes, we may never really experience being heated up by the Sun of Righteousness. At the Gotsuko Zion Church in Taiwan, we held Waiting on God conferences 44 times a year. Many of the people who attend the conferences would describe the time as sunbathing under the sun. After spending a few days of sunbathing in the presence of the Lord, it felt like they had been internally disinfected by germs by the cleansing power of the Lord. They truly felt sanctified. This is why it is important to stay longer under the Sun of Righteousness so that we can experience the effects of His healing power. Don't leave His rays too soon. Learn to stay put and continue bathing under His healing presence. Honestly, the longer, the better. I once was invited to minister at a church in Maryland. A couple who attended the conference came all the way from Paris to attend. They had heard of the conference and requested time off from work, even though they had just relocated there. On the third day of the conference, the wife shared with me her testimony. She explained that while still living in North Carolina, she had suffered a head injury because strong winds had caused her car door to slam against her. Upon medical examination, she was informed by the doctors that the injury had caused damage in an area of her brain that regulates balance. Life from then on was quite miserable because she was not able to maintain balance, even when she walked. The doctors put her on a 2-month medication regimen as an attempt to resolve the problem. If the medication fails to be effective, they would have to consider surgery. However, she found out that the medication has a lot of harmful side effects, so she decided against it. 2 months passed and her condition did not improve. The thought of brain surgery to her just sounded too risky. Then a good friend of hers gave her a set of tapes from a previous conference that I had spoken in. She listened to the tapes and heard the teaching about seeking intimacy with God and waiting on Him. In response, she began practicing what she had learned. Every day. She started with 1 hour a day and soon progressed to 2 hours. Then she felt that 2 hours was just too short, so she continued on to 3 hours of waiting. Even at 3 hours, she felt time pass quickly. Every day she sought intimacy with the Lord and waited on Him for long periods of time. Amazingly, without her conscious awareness of it, her brain trauma was completely healed. That was why she was so determined to come to the conference, which God indeed blessed by bringing positive change in their marriage. The Word of God declares, "The Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." This means that you don't have to wait for a certain individual to lay hands on you. If you would learn to revere God and regularly go before Him to adore Him and wait upon Him, you will find healing in the rays of the Sun of Righteousness. There's a sister who suffered a severe fever right before a summer conference. She prayed and waited on the Lord for several days without any change in her condition. However, she still chose to attend. Her fever was so high that she was dizzy most of the time. Whenever there was a break in the sessions, she would return to her hotel room and crash on her bed. She did this session after session in the midst of her burning fever and extreme dizziness. This went on day after day for 4 days, but on the fourth day, like an accumulation of the effects of basking under the Sun of Righteousness, her sickness suddenly left her during the close of a session. She felt something suddenly leaving her, taking the sickness along with it. Her fever broke and she was completely healed. You see, when the Sun of Righteousness appears, it is able to drive away sickness from our bodies. It can also drive away the enemies that reside within, the enemies that oppress us. In the case of this sister's fever, it was more than just a physical condition. If it was merely physical, she would not have sensed something leaving her at that moment her fever began to break. I personally see this as a hindrance from the enemy to keep her from attending the conference. In that conference, God performed a deep work of strengthening the spiritual life of this particular sister. She encountered the sustaining and healing strength of the Lord. This type of experience thrusts a person towards a deeper faith in God, where the understanding of His omnipotence is upgraded. This type of experience builds up a person in inner strength and courage to face difficult circumstances. No wonder the enemy wanted to hinder her from attending the conference. Furthermore, there was blessing in experiencing healing directly from the Lord without the aid of doctors. Now, I want to explain here that it is not a sin for a Christian to seek the help of doctors when fallen into sickness. It is actually a wise thing to do if you lack the faith and assurance to rely solely on the Lord. There is nothing to be afraid of or ashamed of about in doing so. Don't worry about other people labeling you as faithless. Your health is not something to fool around with. Do not forego medical help just so you can look spiritual to others. You must personally have a strong conviction of faith that the Lord will directly heal you. Otherwise, your condition, because of your lack of faith, will worsen and you will suffer unnecessarily. On the other hand, I want to share with you that I have witnessed in the last 16 years of ministry many who found healing by trusting only in the Lord. There were cases where God directed the individuals towards the doctors after a period of trusting only in Him. In those cases, God protected their condition from growing worse during the period when they leaned solely on Him. When the Son of Righteousness rises, it does bring with it healing in its wings. A person who waits on the Lord is strengthening his or her ability to firmly trust in Him. Waiting on the Lord goes far beyond experiencing a feeling. Some make the mistake of thinking that the goal is arriving at a particular feeling. Rather, it is the practice of communing deeply with the Lord. Even in the absence of feelings, waiting on God is proactively expressing our love and devotion to Him as we seek His face. Over time, you will personally experience the emergence of an unshakable faith and immovable trust in the Lord. I have witnessed many highly gifted people who heal, cast out demons, and prophesy, panicking when they fell into sickness. From observing these individuals, I learned that it's one thing to be supernaturally gifted for serving others, and another thing to nurture daily personal trust in the Lord. The latter is what I would consider as the real substance of the spiritual life. This genuine spirituality comes from our willingness to revere the Lord, to love Him, and to spend time drawing close to Him. When it says that the Son of Righteousness has healing in its wings, I see it as more than just towards physical sickness. The healing that comes also includes the work of unveiling the hidden problems that are within us. Have you noticed that people respond differently to a sermon? One person may be in tears, while another just sits there untouched. The same goes for the reading of the Bible. Some go about reading a passage without being convicted or anything. This is not so for those who wait on the Lord. One of the healings that take place when we regularly wait for the Lord is being healed of our inward lifelessness and ignorance. Through the process of waiting on the Lord, our hearts are resurrected from spiritual darkness. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 17 to 19 says, that you walk no longer as Gentiles do in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Even as Christians, if we are not careful to draw close to our holy God and submit to His ways, we can potentially return to living life as an unbeliever. It is possible for Christians to become darkened in their minds, to fall into ignorance, to develop hardness of heart, and to become calloused towards God. It is possible for Christians to be given over to sensuality and the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. In fact, many Christians are living this way. This is why it is important to wait on the Lord. In doing so, God heals us of darkness and hardness of heart. This type of healing makes us alive and responsive to His word and message spoken through another person. We become stirred when God speaks to us. We become motivated to obey His commands. We see as precious His promise to make us like Christ. In the first 6 years as a Christian, I had memorized the passage that says, God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Initially, this verse had little impact on me. However, as I began waiting on the Lord, I became extremely excited about this verse. I was awakened to the amazing truth that God had willed that horrible sinners such as I would be able to share in Christ's likeness. This kind of awareness brought me such hope in life. When the Son of Righteousness heals us of inward darkness, we are awakened to the beauty of God's truth. Over time, waiting on God will bring the blessing of increased insight in the reading of His Word. There's a brother in the church in Hsinchu, Taiwan, which had been a Christian since childhood. In his childhood years, he was serving the Lord in large-scale meetings. He even married the daughter of a pastor and taught piano in a seminary. When he came to the church, he was fascinated by the sharing amongst the believers at the Tuesday night Bible study. He asked me why the brothers and sisters had such rich insights from their reading of the Bible while he had nothing. Now, he is one who has attended seminary. However, in the seminary, he mainly took notes of what the professors told him. Over time, there is a tendency to forget what had been written down. On the other hand, when God brings healing to the darkened heart, through the process of waiting on Him, Bible reading becomes a time where first-hand insights are received. Our spiritual eyes suddenly become opened, and we are able to see and appreciate the preciousness of God's Word. We are renewed so that reading the Bible is like God speaking personally to us. This is a work of transformation that only God can do as we practice waiting on Him. A brother shared with me a testimony related to a message that I had preached on Pentecost Sunday regarding repentance. He was asking the Lord to reveal areas of his life that needed change. He was asking God to put a spirit of repentance in him. God answered his sincere desire and brought him through a season where he would weep deeply through every service that he attended. He was not conscious of any particular sin that he was weeping and repenting over. He just knew that he had been given a spirit of repentance and that he was weeping as a result of it. Finally, in one particular service, God revealed to him the depth of his depravity. He saw himself as a man who desperately needed God's mercy. This testimony points to a genuine work of God that supersedes human efforts. I once attended a seminar where we were given the task of confessing all known sins since childhood. We had to find a private area, ask the Lord for guidance, and begin to confess all the sins that came to mind. As much as this exercise is helpful, there's a tendency for doubts to creep back over time, causing the people to wonder if they had really been forgiven. This is an indication that man-devised ways of repentance pale in comparison to when the Son of Righteousness sheds light in the heart of man. When we position ourselves to bask under the Son of Righteousness, we are allowing Him to heal us. His work in our lives is both genuine and deep. It is very different from the methodologies that you learn from man. When God works in our lives, He does it by transforming us from within. This is why I reiterate again that it is vitally important that brothers and sisters in Christ take time to wait upon the Lord. The effect of doing so may not be noticed over a short period of time, but over time you will realize that God has established transformation within you that carries depth. You can keep attending Bible studies and take careful notes of all the insights that are shared. But I'll be honest with you, much of the insights that I have received from reading the Bible is a result of having spent time waiting on the Lord. These insights, deep and personally applicable, go far beyond head knowledge. The healing process that comes from the Son of Righteousness heals us of faulty thoughts and mentality. I personally am against a new believer reading verse-by-verse commentaries of the Bible. I would have the new believer spend the time waiting on God rather than trying to figure out everything about a particular passage. I see it as a priority to have the Lord heal the individual of inner darkness and faulty mindsets so that the Bible can be better understood. When that happens, the individual will be able to receive more insights from a particular passage than what commentaries can offer. Furthermore, those insights would also be deeply personal and applicable. I would even say that a new believer is hindered in their capacity to understand the Word of God if they keep relying on someone else's explanation of a particular verse. Understanding of the Word of God becomes founded on what others have said instead of receiving it from the Lord. The healing that comes from the Son of Righteousness heals us of our old self. In Malachi 4 verse 3 it says, "You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet." Who are the wicked that is mentioned here? They are our old self. You notice that our old self is quite a wicked one. He is very devious and crafty. The Bible tells us that the heart is craftier than all other things. Who can see into it? Well, God is the only one who can. We don't know our old self thoroughly enough, for we are so accustomed to living by it. We enjoy our old self as good friends to the point where we are blind to its harm in our lives. Our big ego keeps us from living a life of joy. The greater our ego, the less we tend to be able to experience joy. On the other hand, a person who has a small ego lives in much joy because his ego is less prone to being hurt or offended. The truth is, we cannot properly deal with our ego. However, the Son of Righteousness is an expert at it. A brother was going about tilling his backyard and installing an irrigation system. He purchased high-grade soil with the intention of growing a lawn from seeds. He decided to do this on his own because it would have been too costly to have someone else do it for him. A short while after he finished the project, he saw beautiful green grass begin to grow. But while he was standing there admiring the emergence of his new lawn, he felt a leading to go and examine the soil at the root level. And to his surprise, when he did, he discovered that there were roots of crabgrass growing everywhere. He was quite upset at the discovery and thus continued pulling the unwanted roots for 3 hours. This kind of crabgrass grows slightly underground and spreads its root system sideways and downwards through the soil. As it spreads, it eventually kills off the root system of the desired grass. In that moment of horror and frustration over the presence of this nasty root system, the Lord revealed to him that his life resembled this lawn. He responded by telling the Lord that he did not want his heart to be that way. Incidentally, he had been learning about waiting on God and had been practicing it. Through it, the Lord has been shedding light on his pride. The Lord also used the experience from his lawn to highlight the spiritual crabgrass that had accumulated from 18 years of hurtful experiences. The hurts came from church leadership and other individuals, and as a result, he turned into a highly self-protective person. This is a form of pride. In his self-protectiveness, he was very afraid of being hurt again by people. He realized that in the 18 years of living that way, the root of pride had grown in a way that was like the crabgrass root, long and deep. He came to the awareness that this was also why he had regularly misinterpreted the voice of God and misunderstood his will. Previously, I had challenged him as to why he had grossly misunderstood the will of God concerning major life decisions. One of them was supposedly God telling him that he needed to fold a Bible in a certain manner, place it in a plastic bag, and throw it into a certain part of a river in China. Even though I was suspicious of it being God, I respected him and let him go because of his insistence of having heard from the Lord. I shared with him that in the many years of knowing Pearl Young, my spiritual mentor, I had never encountered a situation where she sought the Lord and ended up hearing wrong. I shared with him that he had much zeal for the Lord and ministry, but he lacked a quietness to wait on him. I often hear him say in zeal that he wants to serve the Lord by the gifts that the Lord has given him. He would say, "I want to prophesy to people and I want to counsel people." He had a great desire to use the spiritual gifts that God had given him to help people. In the midst of all his zeal, I was trying very hard to get him to quiet down and go before the Lord just to seek him and love him. I wanted him to learn how to let God take the initiative in giving him directions rather than him getting ahead of God. One time he asked me to announce to the congregation that he was available to meet people for counseling. But for some reason, which I can say is the Lord's doing, I kept forgetting to make the announcement. After 3 weeks, I finally made a clear effort to remember to announce it on Sunday. I did it because he was so convicted about serving in this capacity, and I saw it as being a benefit to the church. I was actually quite embarrassed at having procrastinated for so long for the announcement. However, 3 days after making the announcement, he shared with me that God had told him to stick to praying rather than spend time counseling people. He was apologetic and honestly admitted that he had misunderstood the Lord. I praise God for this brother, because he is lovable, precious, and very honest about his mistakes. When he makes a mistake, he admits it rather than makes excuses. This is a quality that makes him truly lovable. When he makes a mistake, he would take initiative to publicly confess it to the congregation. This is a precious quality, but as much as it is good to embrace others in their mistakes, it is also important to admonish them to avoiding more mistakes in the future. I explained to him that his zealous impatience in wanting to do things for the Lord can easily cause him to misread God. If personal zeal is not kept at bay, we might even read into circumstances and see it as a confirmation from the Lord to keep going in a certain direction. The truth is, our personal desires can interfere with our best of intentions to hear from the Lord. A sister heard God telling her once that all personal desires, even if it be the best of intentions, inflict pain to Him. This is quite a statement from the Lord, that even the best of intentions can become pain for Him. Why? Because in the heavenly kingdom, there is only His will at work. His kingdom comes only when His will is being done. All of our earthly desires hinder the growth of the heavenly kingdom. But we may argue that our intentions are good and comes from our love for the Lord. We may say that we are trying to serve the Lord by helping people. Yes, good intentions to serve God because we love Him are appreciated. However, we must learn to seek Him as to how He would want us to serve others. When all are fully submitted under God's sovereignty, things will be quite different here on earth. His ways are not our ways. He can actually accomplish great things in a short amount of time. It is usually our personal egos that hinder what He intends to do. Think about the brother's zeal in being willing to risk personal safety to go to China. Many of us were touched by his sacrificial attitude. He took a heavy load of gospel tracts and risked his personal safety in going. Unfortunately, even though his attempt was admirable, it was his own personal desire that confused him into thinking the trip was of the Lord. He shared with me how he had to use different tactics just to get past the immigration officers. In one particular place, he put on sunglasses and restyled his hair so that he would not be easily recognized. Much to his surprise, the immigration officer was still able to identify him. He felt so awkward when he was found out. He tried entering again through another location, but was again found out. Think about the time and the money he spent trying to fulfill his mission. Brothers and sisters, you must have a healthy awareness of your ego's ability to confuse you. I am not saying here that you ought to fear serving the Lord. The church is in desperate need of more brothers and sisters who would rise up to serve the Lord. But what is vitally important is a humble acknowledgement of our lack of ability to do anything for the Lord. We need to ask Him to fill us with His Spirit. We ought to submit ourselves fully before Him so that He can initiate things for us. This is what God has taught this brother. We can also see God doing the same in the life of Sister Basileia Schlink, whom I mentioned about in the last session, who had much talents and abilities. Instead of letting her loose to do what she naturally can do, the Lord invited her into solitude with Him. Later on, she learned what God did in her through the time of solitude was foundational for the worldwide ministry that awaited her. She admitted that she would not have even dreamed that her ministry was going to have worldwide impact. Waiting on the Lord allows Him to heal us of spiritual blindness. Waiting on the Lord heals us of harmful parasites such as pride. Pride is well hidden and deeply rooted in our way of life. Its roots, like that of crabgrass, can systematically choke out the liveliness of our spiritual lives. This is reason enough for us to ask the Lord in prayer to reveal the areas of pride in our lives. I guarantee that we all suffer from embedded roots of pride within us. We are in desperate need for the Lord to highlight how pride is manifesting through the way we live. As I have shared in the last session, unless we regularly ask for God's examination of our lives as we wait on Him, many of our problems will continue unexposed. This is a spiritual principle that I have found in many years of walking with the Lord. Ask and you shall receive, ask not and you receive not. This means that we ought to wait on the Lord's judgment of the way we live. We ask for His examination of our lives. We ask for Him to shed light into the problem areas of our lives. The root of pride goes deep within us, and it purposes to choke our spiritual lives to a point where we become spiritually blind. In our blindness, we are deceived into evaluating our spiritual well-being purely from the standpoint of anointing and effectiveness in ministry. Pride has a way of deceiving us and blinding us from the real state of our being. Pride can also lock us into blaming others for hurting us while never considering how we have hurt others. Pride does these things. In light of what pride does, we are in need of regularly basking in the rays of the Sun of Righteousness. The longer the better, for the rays has power to kill bacteria. It is like people setting their blankets out under the sun as a means of disinfection. The point is to set the blankets out for a long time so that the energy of the sun can restore resiliency to the cotton, drive out moisture, as well as kill mold. The passage says when the Sun of Righteousness rises with healing in its wings, those who are healed will skip about like calves from the stall. When our spirit, soul, body receives healing from the Sun of Righteousness, we experience great joy. The Word of God describes this as joy, as the excitement of young calves being released from its confined quarters. These calves, having been kept in the stalls, run out and skip in the excitement of freedom. In the same way, when our darkened hearts and egos are exposed and disinfected under the light of the Lord, we too will experience such joy and excitement. If you happen to be one who lacks joy, you must go to the Lord and ask Him to reveal to you the weeds and mold that are hidden within you. You must get under the rays of the Sun of Righteousness and bask away those things that hinder joy. When we bask in Him, we are set free from the bondage to our egos and our past hurts. We are set free to experience the joy that is described as calves skipping about as they are let out of their stalls. Our ego will not be the one in charge anymore over our lives because the wicked has been trampled down within us. This ego of ours will no longer oppress us. This ego is one who easily hurt and is constantly in demand of being the center of attention. This ego is one who easily gets angry. This ego is what causes us to be strongly opinionated. Others have to submit to what we say, and we must have the last word on every issue. This ego is what makes us highly competitive in all things. We just cannot lose to anyone over anything. This ego that we will be delivered from when the Sun of Righteousness heals us. We will no longer suffer under its oppression. Instead, we will skip around in joy as a calf skips in freedom. Rather than being oppressed by our ego, we trample it down as a wicked one. You know, it is very important to trample down our egos rather than nurture it. Don't get into the practice of protecting and spoiling your ego. You must exercise discipline over your ego. You must break your ego. The passage continues to say, "For there will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing," says the Lord of hosts. Take notice of the phrase, "on the day which I am preparing." Now think of the sister I mentioned previously with the high fever. Even before the summer conference began, she was already suffering from this illness. She prayed and waited on the Lord without any physical changes in her condition. Actually, it wasn't until the fourth day of the conference before her fever went away. Had she given up by the third day from weariness of waiting, she probably would have gone home with the fever still in her body. God has His appointed time. Now you might say, why doesn't God just heal her sooner? The answer is because God is training His people to have a steadfast faith in Him. If prayers such as healing and the filling of the Holy Spirit are always instantly answered, God's people will remain immature as infants who demand instant responses. Infants are marked by their impatience because they demand instant gratification for every desire that they have. If they don't have what they have immediately, they cry and fuss. This is not the case with one who is mature. Mature ones have the capacity to wait and persevere. This is exactly what God is doing in having us wait so that we will have steadfast faith in Him. This type of faith is a precious spiritual possession. The way this faith is birthed and established is through the practice of patiently waiting on the Lord. It stems from a willingness that says, "Lord God, I will wait patiently for You." The waiting in patience is for the day which the Lord has prepared for the enemy to become ashes under the soles of your feet. All of a sudden, when the time of the Lord comes to pass, the wicked ones will become ashes that are trampled under our feet. This is why, brothers and sisters, we need to practice patiently waiting for the Lord's appointed day. Do not be caught up in the mindset of skipping church just because you are sick. I want to testify to you that many of my sicknesses were healed in the midst of a church service. I would be tremendously weak and miss work because of being weak from conditions such as acute dysentery. However, I dare not miss the church service at night because I just don't know what God's timetable for me is. Perhaps God has something miraculous waiting for me. I would go and God would indeed do the miraculous. This type of scenario happened many times in my life. The reason why going to church is so important is because the rays of the Sun of Righteousness are especially intense there. His presence is especially rich. We need to learn to treasure that rather than take it for granted, so that we can take every opportunity to bask in the Lord. I caution you against skipping church just because you are busy with other things or because you are under the pressures of life. What you may not realize is that the help that you need during those times come from basking under the Son of Righteousness. He wants to heal you. He progressively works in you so that on the appointed day, you will suddenly realize how wonderfully He has been working in you. Brothers and sisters, this is our sixth lesson on the topic of waiting on the Lord. There are some who have taken this seriously and have been diligently taking time to practice waiting on the Lord. There are others who might still need to start. I encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity and put this into practice. Give a sincere effort to draw near to the Lord through waiting on Him. Although it might be a challenge, persevere. Just like the one of the testimonies given in the beginning. Though this brother was feeling very upset about being mistreated by the automobile body shop, he committed himself to continue waiting on the Lord. He placed himself fully at the mercy of the Lord so that He will extinguish the impatience of the wicked one that's within him. Brothers and sisters, you must learn to draw near to the Lord even in the most difficult of circumstances. Whatever situation you find yourself in, and whatever needs you have, God is your greatest help. Take every opportunity to bask under the Son of Righteousness. Let His heart disinfect you and strengthen you. Let righteousness be progressively established within you. Let His character be progressively established within you. I assure you that you have no power to change your old self. Only the Son of Righteousness can do that. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are His workmanship, created for good works. Take note that we are His workmanship. Furthermore, He does it through Jesus Christ, meaning it is very important that we commune with Jesus. When we do that, He will expose and extinguish the presence of the old self that is in us.
This concludes part 6 of the series entitled Waiting on God by Pastor Grace Jung of Forerunner Christian Church. Please do continue listening to the rest of the teachings in this series. As a reminder, do take time to practice waiting on God in order to truly benefit from this teaching. May God richly bless you.